We are going to finish today our series on tithes and offerings. And this series has been coming from the book of Malachi, so you can start turning there right now. Again, for some of us that are just tuning in, this is something that St. John wanted preached. There was a statement that we do not talk about tithes and offerings enough. And so this is going to be the fifth Sunday. We've been talking about this for a month now. And so today will be the close of that. And my prayer is that you are learning something about tithes and offerings. Again, the whole series has been coming from the book of Malachi. If you missed any of these sermons, I'm going to recap them. But keep in mind, they are available at sjbcla.org/sermons. Go to the sermons page. You will find every sermon. You can even download them if you're able to do that. You can catch up. Amen? So tithes and offerings. Week one, we talked about a great robbery. A great robbery. That came from Malachi, the third chapter, eighth verse. Again, go to Malachi, the third chapter. A great robbery. The question that was asked was, how are you robbing God? How are you robbing God? And the answer was, if you aren't contributing, if you are not contributing what you should to St. John, that's how you're robbing God. And so we said, don't rob God by robbing St. John. And I tried to leave with this point that members can't be moochers. But y'all said, I want to hear some more. So then we talked about a great curse, which came from verse 9. And the question that was asked was, if you, being a member, refuse to give to St. John, how does God punish you? And the answer that we came up with in that sermon was, you lose money. And I tried to remind you, don't mess with God's money. And for those of us that are daredevils, I said, play around and find out. Then we moved on to a great blessing. Again, book of Malachi, third chapter, coming from the 10th verse this time. The question was, why does God bless us so much when we give? And the answer was that so we can increase our offering to take care of his people. And I tried to leave with this thought, God says never to test him except here. And I said, try Jesus the right way. And then the last week we talked about a great restoration. Again, this is Malachi, the third chapter, 11th verse. And the question was, what does financial restoration look like? And we talked about it and we said that God will bless your work so that you can bless God's work. And so I tried to, again, remind us that we ought to invest in God's work. And he will invest in yours. And I said, if your heart is right, your money will be too. So with that said, we are in our final installment. And again, it's in the book of Malachi. And you guessed it, we are coming from the 12th verse, book of Malachi, the third chapter, the 12th verse. If you're still trying to catch it, I would recommend that you go to the table of contents. Malachi is the last book in the Old Testament. Find that page number. Once you're there, look for the big number 3, smaller number 12. The big 3 is the chapter, the 12 is the verse. But if you're not able to find it in time, don't worry. The words are on the screen. I always like for people to have their own Bibles Don't just take my word for it. Take God's word for it. Book of Malachi, 3rd chapter, 12th verse. I'm going to read in the interest of time. Out of the Christian Standard Bible version, it says, verse 12, "Then all the nations will consider you fortunate, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of armies." The title of this fifth installment is this: A Great Reputation. A great reputation. You may be seated. How many of you have ever heard the phrase, "mind your own business"? Maybe I should have asked, how many of you have used the phrase, "mind your own business"? And with me, I like to look up where phrases come from, you know. And from what I understand, people are having a hard time locating it. But perhaps the earliest use of that phrase, "mind your own business," is actually found in the Bible. In 1 Thessalonians, I believe it's the 4th chapter, Paul tells the Thessalonians to make sure they mind their own business. And actually what he said was, "mind your own." And, you know, we to translate it this way so it made sense to us was, "mind your own business." And what that phrase means, when you say mind, what do you mean mind? That's kind of a different archaic term. It's not just to think about it, but it's to pay attention to, attend to your own business. And the scripture that Paul was had written, what Paul was telling the Thessalonians to do was not to just sit around and be lazy and look at everybody else and make everybody else pay for you and pay make sure you're taken care of. But if you can work, you ought to mind your own business. You ought to pay attention to what you should be doing and pay attention to your own work. And then different variations across different cultures have come up. But what it means basically the same thing. Y'all know people that's just nosy? You know, people that's always in everybody else's business? You know, that's really what gossip is, right? Gossip is just getting in everybody else's business. It's talking about other people. It's trying to figure out who they dating. And what they said and why they doing such and such and this and that. Why everybody's always in everybody else's business. Y'all notice that? And usually, you know, people that are talking the most ain't doing nothing. It's just funny how that works out, right? So then again, we say, mind your own business. You know, you got something to do. Put your mind on what you're supposed to do. Does that make sense? So many of us have lived that and heard that. But I think that when it comes to the Word of God, we might be taking it a little too far. Because mind your own business, that phrase of minding your own business, also carries the connotation of leave people out of your business. You know, if you're trying to mind your own business, you're trying not to have other people get in your business. Does that make sense? Some of y'all have some personal experience with minding your own business and then other people trying to mind your business. But they got their own business to worry about. So when you're focusing on what you're supposed to do, You're trying not to deal with what other people think, what other people want, what other people have, their opinions. Now, what if I were to tell you that in certain cases, that is the wrong mentality? See, God blesses us. But when God blesses us, and this threw me for a loop, God does not necessarily want to keep it to ourselves. When God blesses us, sometimes it matters what other people think. What? So that's the question we're going to answer today. If God is blessing you, why does it matter what other people think? Let me say that again. If God is blessing you, you got the promotion. Your relationship is working out. You get the opportunity. If God is blessing you, the tendency is to, you know, mind our own business, right? You know, God's doing my thing in my life, and God's going to do something in somebody else's life. Stay in our lane. So why does it matter what other people think? And this is the question that is really, truly raised after reading Malachi 3rd chapter and the 12th verse. We've talked all of March, about Israel and God, how Israel wasn't bringing in the tithes and the offerings, and that because of that, you know, the people that were not doing well or dependent upon that, they were not doing well. Talked about the Levites, talked about those in poverty, those that were dependent upon the tithes and the offering, two separate things. Just check out the first sermon for that. And because of that, they were under a great curse. God cursed Israel, right? And then the last couple of Sundays, we talked about how God would bless Israel if they were to just bring the tithes and offering, right? Again, subjects are God and Israel. And so last Sunday, in my head, I thought we should have been done with this series because we saw the problem and now we saw the solution. It was between God and Israel. In fact, there's a phrase that some of us like to say, you know, this is an A and B conversation. So see yourself out. Mind your own business. So why in the world does God say, verse 12? What does he say? He says, then all the nations, talk about minding your own business, getting everybody involved. All the nations will consider you fortunate, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of armies. And again, if you're like me, you ask these questions. If the issue is between God and Israel, why are others' opinions relevant? Why does God even say this? Why do other nations need to know what's going on in Israel? Why do other people need to know what's going on with you? And some of us may say, well, you know, maybe, you know, there's certain opportunities that might work out if they know how you're doing. But if their opinions don't affect Israel, why mention them? If others' opinions of how you're doing in your life, how you're doing in a relationship, how you're doing at work, if their opinions don't affect you, and they shouldn't, why are we even talking about them? Why bring it up? And some of us may say, well, you know, they want to, maybe it's to get some credit, but we don't live for other people's credit. We don't live for other people to tell us good job and wow, you're so great and this and that. That's not what we're here for. We work for the Lord's approval. We want him to say well done. Other people, it's whatever, right? So if others' praise should mean nothing to Israel, why does it mean anything to God? Why does it matter if other people look at your life, why does it matter when other people look at your situation and say, "Wow, you're blessed," or if you're, you know, most of them will say, "Oh, wow, you're lucky," or you're fortunate, or you know that phrase, "Must be nice." Why does it matter that they say that? And what I'm trying to show to you, what I'm going to get ready to show to you, is that the reason that it matters what other people think is because God wants the glory. He wants a great reputation. He wants the glory. He wants a great reputation. So here's the thing. When you get promoted, when you work your relationship out, when you get the opportunity, understand that when God blesses you, it's actually bigger than you. This is hard for us to understand as Americans, because as Americans, we are a hyper-individualistic society. We are taught that the American dream is what we can get for ourselves. The nice white house in the suburbs with the picket fence. Y'all remember that? We are taught that we can be wealthy and maybe we can, you know, take care of our family and whatnot, get a nice car, go on trips. We can do these things. And unfortunately, the way that Christianity has been portrayed in America is individualistic as well. We talk about our, what? Personal Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We talk about our own faith with God. That's why so many people have an issue coming to church. It's because they have their own relationship with God. Why do they need to come to a building with other people who have their own personal relationships with God if they can have their own personal relationship with God at home? It's hard for them to understand. When they're going through things, God will help them to go through it. God will be there for them. He will never leave or forsake me. These are the things that we're taught. And so when we're talking about how God is going to bless you, God's going to bless what? You, individually. That's how we think. Way back in the seventh or eighth layer of our brain, that's how we think. That God, this walk with God is all about myself. But I have come to tell you and to remind you that this is bigger than you. This is bigger than you. The scripture does not say, "For God so loved you." It says, "For God so loved the world." Y'all hear me? It is about the bigger picture. It is not just about your version, your view of God. It's about what the world thinks. This is the reason Jesus Christ came. Look, I know that if Jesus came and if you were the only sinner on earth, he would have still gone on that cross for you. Because he loves you that much. Yes, he died for your individual sins. Yes, he was buried. And on the third day, yes, he rose with all power in his hand. Yes, he did that for you. However, he also did it for others. He also did it for other people. And this is literally the point of evangelism. This is the point of testimonies. God won't get the glory if people don't know what he did. I'm trying not to be super spiritual, y'all. Does it make sense? if nobody else knows about Jesus, if nobody else knows that God actually works in your life, if nobody else knows that God can change things, but you know, that's fantastic, you know. But if nobody else knows, that runs against what God is trying to do. He wants to get the glory, and he won't get it if people don't know about what he did. So see, when we talk about tithes and offering, we thought that this was about our budget, you know, individual budget. We thought that the 10% and how to do the calculations, and we thought that was just about what we putting in. We thought that God is just worried about us individually. And yes, God loves you. Yes, he cares for you. Yes, he does. But understand that God wants to get the glory. God wants a bigger picture. This entire month of March, we thought this was about your giving. This was never about your giving. This was always about his glory. Yes, there are some things you need to do for you and God to be right. But the result of you doing what you're supposed to do was not just so you look nice and good, but so that God could bless his people. And because when his people are blessed, people find out that because of what St. John is doing, there are some people that are getting helped. And when people are getting helped, other people see St. John helping the people getting helped. And then they might look at us, but what we do is redirect the glory to God. So congratulations, it's not just about you and your $1,000 offering, but it's about what God is doing here at St. John. This is one of the reasons why I hate when people want to come up and talk about how much money they gave. Pastor Brooks, I'd like to let everybody know I gave $3,000 to the church. And everybody says, amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. But here's the problem. Who's really getting the glory? It's your pocketbooks. We're no longer talking about what the money's actually going toward. Y'all see that? We're talking about how good of a Christian you are and how sacrificial you are. So that's why I don't want to know what people are giving. I don't even want to know who's giving. I refuse. Please don't tell me how much you're giving to the church. Please don't tell me how much you're doing. Please don't tell me. Yes, I'll congratulate you and say God bless you and whatnot. But that's about all you're gonna get. I'm serious. I'm not God. I can't bless you the way you think you ought to be blessed. But those who do these things in secret will be rewarded. Now, why am I saying this? Why am I saying this? Because when we talk about giving, it's not just so that you and God can be good. It's so that his people can be good. And if his people are good, then they will give God the glory. And then if other people see that these people are good, then they will give God the glory. They will see that Jesus is really real. They'll see that our faith is in this God that we believe is true. And they won't praise us for being such great people. And even if they do, we redirect them to the Lord God who made all this happen. I don't need to know what you're giving. I don't need to know the dollar amounts. But what I do need you to do is to make sure you give so that God can be glorified. This is one way we, as the church mission says, glorify God among the people. So that, with the purpose that, with the result that, the people may glorify God. If you just chop off half of it and say glorify God among the people, you're just being a good old righteous Christian. But when you do it with a purpose, when you give your testimony for a purpose, when you praise God for a purpose, not just to show off how good you are, not even just to show off how thankful you are, but with the hopes that somebody else will see that you have been through some things and that the Lord is bringing you out and that it was the Lord's doing. Maybe they might get inspired. Maybe they might be inspired to give a little bit because they see that you're giving. They don't have to know the dollar amount, but you can encourage them to give. I've told you, I don't tell you the amount I give, but I've told you I give. Why? Not so you can look at me as some righteous pastor, but I want to be an example. I want to set an example and let you all know that we're not here just so I can get rich, but that this is a bigger thing than me. This is bigger than what we got going on in the pulpit. It's bigger than that. It's bigger than that. We want to glorify God among the people so that the people may glorify God. We're doing all these events. We're trying to reach out to the community. We're trying to reach within St. John. We're trying to do all the things with our congregation. Why? So that God can get the glory. It's always been about His glory. That is what we do here. Is we find whatever ways we can to give Him glory. So when you give to St. John, you are funding this mission. When you give to St. John, stop thinking about, well, pastor just going, I don't know if pastor going to do it. Stop thinking about, well, I don't know if this is enough. Stop thinking about, they giving $100. I ain't got no $100. When you give, you ought to be proud that you are giving to what God has going on. That is the point. Somebody will be helped. Somebody will be helped because you gave. Somebody will be blessed because you gave. We already talked about how you're going to get blessed. We already talked about that. But I'm talking about other people are going to be blessed because you did it. So let me close. Help us glorify God in your giving. This is all we're trying to do, y'all. This is all we're trying to do at St. John is glorify God in how we take care of one another, how we minister to others. The things we get set up, that's all we're trying to do is to glorify God. And you can do that with your giving. You do not need to tell me the amount. Okay? Because then you're starting to seek your own glory. No, we're trying to seek God's glory. Give to St. John so that God can be glorified. Another way to think about it is this. Look, I understand the thinking about minding your own business. And we ought to. We ought to mind our own business. We ought to work. We ought to do the things that we're supposed to do for the kingdom of God. So in that sense, yes, mind your own business and mind God's business too. Mind your own business and mind God's business too. God's business is not private. It is public. We want God to be glorified by as many people as possible. You can give in secret the dollar amount. Give in secret. But make sure you give so that God can be glorified. Mind your own business and mind God's business too.